Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters of Jesus, well, the pyramids, if you've noticed, they're blue, aren't they? The church is decorated. It's Advent once again. My, how the time flies. In case you don't know, the word Advent means coming. Advent is the little season in the church year to get you ready for Christmas. Christmas, of course, is all about that incredible time in history when Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came down from heaven. It's when he humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to overcome the sharpness of sin and death and to open the kingdom of heaven for you and me, sinners. Yes, he did that for you and me. The magnitude of his being Savior for you it's absolutely incredible, isn't it? I mean, the more I think about it, and the older I get, and I'm getting old, but the more I think about it, it is absolutely incredible that God would do that for me, the sinner. So during these Wednesday evenings, three magnificent hymns will help us in the discipline of the Christian faith. Now, you want to live as a Christian, don't you? Of course you do. Good. So these hymns will teach you what it means to be a Christian. And that's living in repentance and faith. Confessing your sin, telling the truth that you're a hardcore sinner, and then firmly believing that Jesus took on your flesh to save you from your sinful corruption and the damnation that your sin has earned in order to give you heaven instead of hell. Now the hymn for tonight, its title is, O Lord, How Shall I Meet Thee? And it's on the back of your bulletin. Paul Gerhardt wrote this hymn. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was born a long time ago, 1607. And in my opinion, he was one of the best Lutheran pastors the church has ever had. Do a Google search in your free time about Paul Gerhardt. His Christian life will inspire you. And his life will give you an example of what it really means to be a Christian or disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Gerhardt lived in very, very troubled times. There were many crises in the world, in the church, and in his own personal life. It's really not too much different than today, really. During his time as pastor in Germany, the 30 Years' War decimated his country. In addition, the dreaded plague brought death to even more hundreds of thousands of people. You know, in some congregations in Germany, they would bury 2,000 or 3,000 people in a year because of the plague. That's all the pastor would seem to do, would have a funeral and a burial, nonstop, almost every day. You want to talk about grief, sorrow, and despair? Pastor Gerhardt's wife and four of his five children perished during this time. And although Gerhardt was well-respected by many, nonetheless, he was demonized. He was isolated and removed and persecuted by the governing authorities. You want to know why? For faithfully preaching the gospel and defending the Christian faith as a Lutheran pastor. Imagine that. In Germany. We're almost to the point of that in our country as well. We too will probably bear the cross and suffer the loss of beloved family members, property, reputation. You may lose your job through discrimination, harassment, bullying, and outright persecution. Why? Because you practice being a Christian, a Lutheran Christian. We too may be Gerharded, sifted in the sieve of Satan. However, brothers and sisters, the Lord did not waste all the distress and affliction that Gerhardt experienced. And the Lord never wastes the crosses that his people endure, and that includes you. The Lord Jesus uses it all for good. That's his promise. And so, out of all the losses and all the pains and all the miseries, the Lord used Gerhardt to write many hymns. Sweet and sturdy hymns of praise to the Lord, even in the midst of losing his wife and four of his five children and hundreds of people in his congregation. Hymns full of joy, courage, and expectant hope anchored in the Lord Jesus who advents himself in the flesh to save his people from their sins, give them eternal life, and to comfort them in their earthly misery. And tonight, we have the joy of singing one of these hymns. And so now let's sing stanzas 1 through 3.
Oh Lord, how shall I meet thee? How welcome thee aright? My people long to greet thee, my hope, my heart's delight.
Yes, the Lord Jesus does not shy away from his sinners. He comes to them in Bethlehem, at Calvary in his word, in baptism and absolution, and his supper. And, of course, then in glory on the last day. Yes, when Jesus comes, when he advents himself, how are sinners to meet him? How do you welcome Jesus rightly? That's the big question that stanza one asks. After all, he is the most high, holy, and royal King of heaven, and you and I were sinners. There's only one way for us sinners to receive the King rightly. Really, there is only one way. The hymn put it this way, O kindle, Lord most holy, thy lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please thee best. The do in spirit lowly all that may please thee best is none other than repenting of your sin, turning away from it, fighting against it, and then putting it to death through faith in Jesus. Confessing that you're a sinner, and then confessing that Jesus is the Savior. Believing that you're nothing and that Jesus is absolutely everything. That you're not God, but Jesus, he is. Especially when you endure all kinds of suffering and tribulation and loss. Stanza 2, if you noticed, referenced Palm Sunday. You remember that, don't you? We heard it tonight in the readings. That's the day Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem as king. The crowds waved their palm branches and greeted him with the prayer of Hosanna. Hosanna, which means please, save, now. Jesus rides into our midst in the sacrament of the altar, and there he comes to answer our Hosanna, please, save now, by giving us his body and blood. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we sing then, because he comes to you when you would not come to him. He does not turn away from your sinful shame, but he does you honor as he suffers and dies on the cross for you. Salvation won for you there, and then salvation's benefits given in the sacrament. Psalm 92 declares, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, because Jesus died for you, and because he's given you faith to believe in him, your dry, barren, desert hearts bloom with praise, and your lips confess his most holy name, even if you are called to suffer, even as the hymn said, as earthly riches fly. We sing stanzas 4-6. Have you ever wondered sometime in your life why Jesus would, do what he did? Have you ever wondered why Jesus would leave his heavenly throne of light and come into our dark hall of death in order to breathe our poisoned air? The hymn tells us that love caused his incarnation. Love brought him down to us. Whose love? His, the Lord's. Jesus came down from heaven. He took on our flesh and bore all our sin in his crucified body because of his love for all of us. When God-man Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary and dies on the tree, you see love being shown to the loveless so that they might lovely be in his forgiveness for you and me. God Jesus gives his life into death for you and for your salvation. Brothers and sisters, this is absolutely incredible. Who would ever think of it? And so the hymn says, "Rejoice then, ye sad-hearted. Oh, the Lord has not forgotten you. His forgiveness restores you to the joy of salvation. Your heart gets cracked wide open when your sin is mended. The Lord is not your enemy. He is your faithful friend who gives himself entirely for you in his Son, Jesus." Brothers and sisters, heaven is yours as Jesus comes to Bethlehem because all heaven broke wide open for you at his birth. Yes, this baby Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, born of Mary. He was made like you in every respect, as we heard from Hebrews, but yet he never sinned. Jesus then is the sympathetic high priest because he knows firsthand all the temptations that you experience. I mean, we are tempted and we give in immediately. Not with Jesus. He endured the temptations fully and completely and never once gave in. And so all your woes and troubles, he comes to quiet and comfort with his gracious presence in his forgiving word. We sing stanzas 7-9.
Since death that fearful burden, let not your souls distress. Your guilt the Lord will pardon and cover by his grace. He comes for men procuring the peace of sin forgiven. For all of sons securing their heritage in heaven. But though the foes be raging, heed not their craft and spy. Your Lord, the battle waging, will scatter all their might. He comes a king most glorious, and all his earthly foes in vain his course victorious endeavor to. Judge the nations, a terror to his foes. A light of consolations and blessed hope to those who love the Lord's appearing. O glorious Son, now come, send most cheering, and guide us safely home. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the hymn teaches you a great truth that hardly anyone will hear anymore. And I hope you have ears to hear it tonight. And it's this: your sin is a fearful burden, because it puts you into a deep debt or a bottomless debit that you can never pay back. Never, ever. And this debt of sin can only do one thing, and that's drag you to hell. But the season of Advent and tonight's hymn has good news for you. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, has come to carry the load of all your sin in his body on the cross. His bloody, horrifying, and gory death is what pays the entire debt of your sin, because his blood is divine blood. His blood is God's blood that atones for all sin. And so he comes to you, his sinners, at Christmas in order to announce pardon for you, to give you the very peace of heaven itself. The Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a little donkey on Palm Sunday. He comes to you today in baptism's washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of his word, and of course in the sacrament of the altar. But the hymn, the last stanza, referenced his coming in glory on the last day. Sadly, that day will be hellaciously terrible for those who reject Jesus by their unbelief. It's true, unbelievers will go to hell, and they'll go to hell over Christ's dead body, if you will. How heartbreaking that will be. For you who believe in him, Judgment Day will be the opposite. It will be an incredible day of delight and happiness. The Lord's final advent, his appearing in glory, will be the consummation of all of your hopes based on all of his consoling promises in his word. So until then, we wait. Not in darkness, but in the beams of the light that shines on you from the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, so that we are then bold to pray, like the hymn said, "Send forth thy beams most cheering and guide us safely home." He'll do it. He's promised. In the name of Jesus, amen.